swinging strike three. He struck out. A really impressive bottom of the eighth inning for right-hander Colby White.
You know, you hear kids talk about these guys that play at this stage and stuff, and every kid wants to, and that's kind of molded me into being able to succeed at this level. Spencer said, "Colby, you just got drafted in the sixth round." And I thought he was joking. Then I started thinking about, you know, how hard I've worked just to get here and just to be able to pitch here. And then thinking about that, I started crying a little bit. Just when I get in, I know I got three outs to get. It's me versus whoever steps in the box. They're going to catch hell for three outs.
Hey guys, Colby here. As my journey continues, people tell me as I battle on the mound, it's really a game that's purely mental. But I understand that the physical well-being is equally important. Mike and Christy Johnson of our title sponsor, the clinic at Farmers Med Shop, in my hometown of Foxworth, Mississippi, echo the same sentiment. When you're looking for the answer for all your health needs, call or stop by and let Mike and his wonderful staff help you be the best you can be.
All right, everybody, glad to have you back for another episode today of Brushing Them Back with Colby White. I've reached out into the far lands and found Colby somewhere in the state of Florida. Colby, you with me tonight?
I'm with you, man.
Thank the Lord, man. I thought we'd lost you. All right, Colby, you and I talked a little bit earlier about the guest we got tonight. He's a big timer. That's all I can say. Super excited to have him on the show today. JB Ellis. JB, you with us tonight, brother?
Yes, pleasure to be here, Wally.
Look, man, JB Ellis, all this dude is, he is the most intricate part of Sideline Sports Network. If you hadn't checked them out, definitely jump on. We're going to put a link to their network so you guys can check them out. JB, why don't you tell our listeners just a little quick summary of, like, who you are and where you came from and all that kind of stuff, and then we'll jump right into the conversation tonight.
So, from New York, started a couple of years ago. Me and John Shear created a Sideline Sports with Jake Malik and Brendan Eric Wilson. You know, we covered the last two Super Bowls, all the big NFL events. Got shows 7 nights a week. We have, you know, just this last month alone, brought in Dave Stevens, working with Geary and Stein. They broke major NFL news. Just brought in George Jones, Heisman candidate years ago, broke most of Marshall Forbes' records at San Diego State. He's going to be joining our show. He played in the NFL for a few years. You know, we have shows 7 nights a week on the network and just looking to get better. We have our own TV station starting on Traverse TV any day now. And, you know, we're also on DBTV as well, Sideline Sports.
Colby, did I lie to you? I told you he was a big timer and you didn't believe me.
No, I believed it, man. But I mean, obviously, that's a really impressive setup right there.
You know, considering that was just a couple of years ago, you know, you never know, man. With JB on the show and the connections he's got, we might be in that position in a couple of years. You never know, son.
Oh yeah, we keep hanging around him, man. We might be.
JB, you were talking about you covered the last couple of Super Bowls. I know you guys have your different interests, and you guys are very well-versed on the different areas of sports that you guys cover. I know I enjoy following one of your shows that you have, which talks about Cubs Nation, because I am a suffering Cubs fan. They finally won a World Series for me, so I can now die a happy man. Baseball is, I don't know if it's your thing, but I mean, I know you're well-versed in it. And so we got a few questions we want to ask you, a little interaction about how the media is able to influence the sport of baseball. And if you're up to the challenge, we'd love to talk to you about it.
Definitely. I look forward to it.
All right. Well, I'm gonna lead things off. Kobe's percolating a plan right now about what he's wanting to ask you. But I want to lead off first and foremost with probably the most important question you'll be asked tonight. Are you ready for it?
Sounds good. Let's start.
Does Pete Rose deserve to be in the Hall of Fame?
I think so. I mean, you know, what he did on the field speaks volumes. You know, I don't know. I look at sports people, guys that play the game. You know, I'm not bringing them home for dinner. You know, I'm not, you know, hanging out with them at the bar on a Friday night. I'm watching them play a game. Nowadays, everybody gambles. You see ads for DraftKings, FanDuel, Caesars, every sporting event. So did Pete Rose do anything different than today anybody else would? So I think, unfortunately, he deserves to.
Exactly. I mean, it's not like he was juicing like a lot of the guys back during the steroid age.
I got a quick question on that same note. With all the steroid guys, you know, that are being basically kicked out of the Hall of Fame and all that, I'm definitely not condoning the steroids, but they're on the ballot with their same era of play. And then you look through the Hall of Fame and you look at statistics and how the numbers change era to era. Do you believe that some of the sports writers, do you think they're actually using the steroid thing with Barry Bonds, or do you think it's more of a his personality thing? Because I have heard that he's not a real personal guy, that he is kind of, you know, kind of sour taste toward different reporters and interviews. What's your kind of take on that whole perspective?
So with Bonds, I had the opportunity to interview Pedro Gomez before he passed away. And I don't know if you remember, he covered Barry Bonds the year when he hit the 73 home runs. And we talked about it. He met with Bonds beforehand. They had known each other, actually. I believe they were in the same high school, if I'm correct. I forget the story. But they had known each other beforehand. And they were kind of friendly. Barry just didn't want anything to do with the media. And he, not that he's a bad guy, he just doesn't like the media. It's not his thing. And, you know, the media took him a totally different way and alienated him from the media. And they're who votes on the Hall of Fame. So that's why he'll never get in, even if you take away the steroids. Because Barry Bonds had two different careers. He had a career in Pittsburgh where he was the best player in baseball. Then he had a career in San Francisco where he was also the best player in baseball, but he was a much bigger guy who hit a whole bunch more home runs. So, and there's no question that both times of his career he was the best player, but he was just a different guy.
Yeah, stealing a football reference, he went from a small scat back to a defensive end. He was enormous by the time he got to San Francisco.
And they also colluded to keep him out of the game because he still could have played when his contract ended in San Francisco. I mean, I'm a Yankee fan. I was hoping that they would just take him, let him DH a couple of years. He'd have hit another 150, 200 home runs easily.
Yeah. I had a friend of mine that we were talking about that one day, and he said, you know what? You realize if they wouldn't have blackballed Bonds at the end of his career, that dude would have hit 1,000 home runs. That's an insane total if you think about it, 1,000. So from New York, the media in New York gets a bad rap, or is it well deserved?
You know, now that I'm in the media, it's a completely different way I look at it. First of all, the New York media is probably the hardest media in the world, but everybody has a job to do. You know, and we're all observing the same thing. And you're asking the questions what you see. You know, if you see something, it's your job when you're in the media to ask it. And, you know, you're paid to report what's happening. And if you're a columnist, you're paid to have an opinion on what's happening. So, you know, if you do a show like we do, or your show, you're here to have an opinion. People aren't going to sit here and listen to you say, well, the Cubs are winning 3-0 in the top of the first, you know, Wisdom hit a 3-run homer. Nobody cares about that because they can watch the game. You know, it's your job to have an opinion, whether it be a hard opinion of somebody or a great opinion of them. That's just what it is. So I don't think now that I'm involved in it, I don't think of it that way any longer. But you know, when I was younger, growing up, reading the paper, it didn't bother me that either. Especially in New York, I think some guys are just better able to handle the pressure, and some just aren't. It's tough when you're dealing with that. And I'm sure, Colby, you coming up, playing the game, having to deal with the media, you've learned different ways to respond and how to protect yourself when you get asked a question that you may be uncomfortable with or put you in a bad situation. you know, so there's different techniques on both sides.
Exactly. Yeah. Speaking on that kind of subject, obviously guys will figure out which team I'm talking about, but there was a reporter around a major league team that basically came out with a report talking about the LGBTQ community in baseball and all that. And some players voiced their opinion against or for, and it kind of blew up, and a lot of the players were actually getting booed at their home stadium because of it, basically just off of that one report. And obviously it's a thing that I guess is in everyday life, but in the grand scheme of things, is something like that as important in baseball as it was kind of made out to be? I know that was kind of just a random brief statement, but guys that are actually pretty good human beings kind of seem to get a bunch of hate over it, you know, which is kind of crazy where we're at.
See, I think it goes back to my original statement that I made earlier, you know, with Pete Rose. I'm not bringing the guys on the team home for dinner. They're allowed to have their opinion. Can they hit the baseball? If I'm a fan of the Rays or the Yankees, all I care is, can my cleanup hitter hit a home run? Can my pitcher throw strikes? You know, their personal opinion on what they feel on, you know, the war in Ukraine, that doesn't really mean anything to me. I'm not looking for them for answers on that. If they don't like the LGBT community, I'm not in agreement with them, but that's fine. Everybody's allowed to have their own opinion in life. I'm not here to force that on them. And, you know, that's one of the things I think as media people don't do. I don't want to be ever that guy that's the gotcha guy. You know, I have somebody on my show or I'm interviewing somebody and I'm looking to get them. We had this situation at the Super Bowl. Perfect example. John Shearer, who's one of my co-hosts and one of the people at Sideline Sports, asked Eric Weddle a question about the hit he had in the Tampa, I think it was in the Tampa Bay game. And it was a legitimate question. It wasn't a gotcha question. It was a legitimate question. And I'm sure it's happened to you. And if it hasn't, I hope it doesn't happen to you. Eric got upset and, you know, went off saying, well, if you didn't play football, you couldn't understand it, which is the wrong way to answer. All he had to do was say, you know, I got a penalty. I have to be more careful. And I get that it sucks sometimes that you get asked a tough question. But we don't want to come out there and get you and make you look bad. But, you have to look at it this way. If you're playing the game, it's your job to do whatever your position is. If you're a pitcher, you got to throw strikes. If we're in the media room, we got to ask you questions. If you got a penalty, you give up a home run, we got to ask you, you know, what were you thinking? Would you do something differently? You don't want to make anybody look bad. That's never the goal. And if that's your goal, you're a horrible human being. I don't want to deal with you. You know, and he went crazy, you know, and we got somebody on Twitter that night that it was, you know, John was a troll. I'm like, that was a pretty legitimate question. He just asked, you know, would he do something differently? And did the coach say anything to him about the hit? You know, it was kind of wild.
Timmy, you were talking.
Yeah, especially.
Go ahead, Kobe.
Even on that topic is especially when it's strictly like you're talking about football related, sports related, you know, like at the end of the day, everybody saw it, you know, it wasn't any backroom things that happened. And for it to be, you know, for you to ask something that pertained and was relevant, that, you know, to me, that seems completely understandable, especially from, and I don't know if things get uncomfortable as players, but that, to me, that would be a very understandable thing to be able to reason with, you know.
Yeah, I thought so. And I was, when he came out, because I actually heard it later, and John is like the crazy one on our show, so I actually made sure I listened to the question word for word, because I'm like, I don't want him to start, you know, beefing with a player, creating a backstory. It was a legitimate question. I listened to it. The first thing I did was, because it was John, I made sure I listened to the full question. And I'm like, oh, that's a legitimate question. I got no problem with it. It wasn't anything derogatory about him as a person. It was a legitimate question on a football play. And there's nothing wrong with that. And for Weddle to come out and say, well, you never played the game and you can't understand, I thought that was, you know, especially for a guy that's a veteran, I was bothered by that. I can understand maybe a rookie, you know, or someone in the game a couple of years, but you've been dealing with the media for 15 years. How is that your answer on the biggest stage, you know?
Exactly. Well, then you would think that there would be a mutual respect there, especially dealing with, a lot of times dealing with the same people, you know, like just knowing them as people and having, you know, small talk or general conversations with one another. You should think, okay, I respect this guy and I understand what he's about, you know, and it's kind of, that's interesting.
Yeah, I was shocked. I mean, I would have understood if it was a guy in his first couple of years, or if maybe it was even during the regular season and that something like that happened, you know, but a couple of things. In the Super Bowl, the NFL is very gracious. They let a lot of people into the rooms to ask questions. I mean, if you sit in some of those press conferences, you get questions that are out there just because, you know, you're letting all these different organizations in. It's more like a spectacle than, you know, a football game. So, you know, you get questions like, for example, it was Matthew Stafford's birthday Super Bowl week. You know, what did this person get you for your birthday? You know, which is great. It, you know, makes the players appear human. I have no problem with that. But when you get a football question, you know, just answer the question. Don't be derogatory towards the reporter. There's no reason for that.
Jimmy, I got a quick question for you. When you're in the interview room at whatever sport you're covering at that point, do you see, or do you, you said you were listening very carefully to what your co-host was saying, do you see or hear bias coming into questioning from certain people of the media, or what you call an inflated reaction from an athlete? I mean, do you see a lot of that? Is that a common occurrence, or is that a kind of like a unicorn situation? You just run across them every now and then.
I mean, there's always the small percentage. There are people that, you know, are looking for the gotcha moments. They're looking for a soundbite, you know, and looking to make people look bad. There's a very small percentage of that. And unfortunately, they're always going to be out there, you know. But when it comes down to it, when you're in those rooms, the hope is to be in that room the next week and to be called on to ask a question. And if that's your goal, you know, the people that run the press conferences in the room, they're not going to call on you eventually. You're going to get stuck out there and, you know, you're going to have your hand up, or if it's a Zoom, you're going to have, you know, you press the button. They're never going to call on you. Once they realize that that's your main goal, they stop calling on you.
I'm gonna ask you a quick question here. If you, because we're talking about a little baseball right now for just a minute, if you were selecting the All-Star teams this year, you know, and you take what has been selected, the fans have selected, and other entities have, you know, been part of the selection process, how close would you be with your selections to what is currently, you know, what the current selected team is this year?
You know, for baseball, I really like the way they do it, to be honest with you. You know, because it's a big enough roster that the manager gets to put enough people on the team that it kind of equals out. And you let the fans have the people they want to play the first couple innings. So I think with baseball, it's actually okay the way they do it. In basketball, where it's a much smaller roster and, you know, the fans are taking basically half the roster almost with the fan vote, it's a completely different situation. So, you know, I kind of like the way baseball does it. And for the most part, the managers, you're always going to have a few snubs. You know, there's always going to be guys that should be on the team that aren't, you know, it's just the way it works. It's like anything when you start selecting. Someone is always deserving that's not going to make it. But, you know, when you get to the way that it's done in baseball, it's kind of fun the way they do it.
Well, I'd ask Kobe to chime in on that, but we started talking about All-Star snubs, and he's going to get all upset because we were just talking about what he thought was the biggest All-Star snub this year, which is Austin Riley from the Braves. Who do you think the biggest All-Star snub this year was?
That's a great question. You know,
I mean, you're a New York guy. I'm pretty sure it's going to be somebody in your region that you probably get a chance to see quite a bit of.
You know, I'll be honest with you. I'm okay with it. I think think Austin Riley was a good choice. I'll go with Colby on this one. I'm going to take the easy way out.
Yeah. Oh, well, there's a backstory to that. Colby also told me just before the season started that if I was a betting man, I should put my money on Austin Riley as the MVP of the league at the end of the season. So, just saying.
Wow.
Mississippi guy, though, that's what it is. See, we gravitate to those Mississippi guys because that's where all the talent is. You probably don't know that coming from New York. We have all the talented athletes. We have all the talented musicians. If it wasn't for Mississippi, the world wouldn't exist. I don't know how that happened. It just did. So.
Well, and this is kind of a statement on that, the fan voting on the All-Star. You know, when you look at like the UFC and Conor McGregor and the money he's made and other sports, it seems like the more out there personalities and the bigger personality guys fans kind of gravitate to. And then when you kind of look at the All-Star game with the fan voting, with the Major League, it just seems like a lot of the guys that are kind of, okay, he should have been there, was maybe a more of a quiet guy, wasn't really as vocal, didn't really do as much in the community or whatever, and, you know, fans really didn't stick to that, and I feel like that's why Albert Pujols, obviously it was a commissioner putting it in there, but the fans were obviously putting pressure on, putting, you know, this is last year, he's going to go down as a first ballot Hall of Famer, but just really good eye for fans, I guess would be a way to put it, but it's crazy how much that grows the game, in my opinion, because if you have the fans deciding who they get to watch in that game, then more times than not, they're going to tune in, you know, and especially from kids, you know, if a kid can go on there and vote 25 times a day, hey, that's, you know, that's kind of pulling him towards something besides sitting on, you know, on a video game or doing other things. So I think it's pretty cool to be able to keep the fans into it and keep growing the game.
You know, I think the roster size is why it's okay in baseball. It just works so well. If it, you know, again, the NBA, what is it, maybe 15 if it's that many with the expanded roster of the All-Star game. So you already have, you know, a third of your team is voted in, and it's such a short number. You know, so it's just not, I don't know, baseball with the 20-something man roster, it's, I think, expanded in the All-Star game. 9 guys, the manager can pull them anytime. I have no issue with it.
Jimmy, I'm going to ask you a question real quick about, you talking about All-Star selections for the different sports. If you had to trash one, if you had to just totally scrap one and reinvent it almost, you know, reimagine it, would you – I know you just said baseball's pretty good set up. Basketball's got issues. What football – would football be the one you'd probably, like, scrap and start over? Because the Pro Bowl is a joke at this point. It's not a real all-star competition. It's a dog and pony show at this point.
But how do you fix the Pro Bowl? How do you get guys that kill each other to play serious for 60 minutes, you know, and then you're having them play in Vegas or Orlando where they could go on a regular vacation? They used to go to Hawaii for the Pro Bowl, which at least was a trip that most people would love to go, and even NFL players, you know, making more money, you know, that was like a vacation. It was like, oh, we're going to Hawaii, I want to do that. You know, and I've spoken to a few guys, and they're like, yeah, going to Hawaii was great. Orlando or Vegas, I can book a room in Vegas. I don't need to go there. It took away from it in that way.
Well, now, could all the other sports follow the lead of baseball? Because the baseball All-Star win-loss is a big deal now because that determines, what is it, home field advantage for the World Series?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
See if the other sports would follow that. You know, hey, you know, if the NFC was to win and they would get the opportunity to do, you know, I don't know, do something. I wouldn't say host it because that's all predetermined stuff, but they could come up with something.
I don't know. It's just football's a tough one with the hitting.
Yeah.
You know, it out of all the sports, it's the toughest to make somebody play. I think they should switch it to like a flag football game, you know. So this way, because it's all offense anyway.
Right.
You know,
right.
That'll work until somebody blows out their Achilles in the game. And then, you know, oh, why are we playing this game?
Yeah, they would definitely fire you, JB, if you was in charge of that and that happened. That's for sure.
Exactly.
So, and that me and Kobe sound pretty biased, you know, because we're baseball guys. You know, baseball's the greatest game ever invented, and we also have the best All-Stars, playoffs, the World Series format. So, I mean, I can understand why other sports want to – your imitation is the best form of flattery. So, that's why I was asking that question.
Makes sense.
All right, you said you were a New York guy, so you're a huge Mets fan, I know.
No, although they have the better manager, the better stadium, you know. But, no, I'm a Yankee fan.
No, I'm jerking you, Chain. I do have a question, though. With all the New York Yankees and all the, I mean, the hundreds of New York Yankees that are, that will live on in infamy, Aaron Judge, if Aaron Judge goes the remainder of his career with no real major injury, you know, some tweaks here and there, if he goes with no major injuries for the rest of his career, let's say he plays another 5 or 6, 7 years, let's say 7 more years and he hangs it up, is he going to be one of those Yankees? Is he going to be one of those guys that's going to be like, hey, when I think of the Yankees, he is definitely in my top 10. Is he going to be one of those guys?
That's a tough one. I don't think so, because they haven't won anything yet. I don't think they're going to win this year. I don't think they're built for the playoffs. First of all, they're playing way over their heads right now, which as a fan is great. You want to see your team win. But to me, Gerrit Cole is not the answer. I don't like that we spent $40 million on him. I would rather have had two better mid-range starters than spend $40 million on a guy that we're not going to hit the playoffs anyway. We haven't hit the last few years of the playoffs.
Right.
You know, not that he's a bad pitcher. Listen, he's one of the best in the game. He's just not my cup of tea. When it comes to a $40 million guy in a must-win playoff game, to me, you're getting $40 million. You give up a run, you've given up too many. I'm tough, you know, and, you know, it's not an easy – I'm not asking for something that anyone can do, but if you want, you know – you want to get $40 million, you've got to be able to come in there and shut them down.
$40 million. That's an insane total just to start with. So you just told me.
And what's crazy about that is he kind of got that contract at the perfect – he won a Cy Young on it right before his contract year. And then it was kind of like years prior, he was good, but he wasn't great. And then all of a sudden gets one of the biggest contracts in baseball with the Yankees and – which, I mean, historically the Yankees have been known to overpay a player and be okay with it. But a thing I'm starting to think of, too, is you've got a couple guys on that team who aren't really the most, you know, when you talk to different players in the league, the most friendly or the most or the best teammates, so to speak. I mean, you hear about stuff with Josh Donaldson and Gerrit Cole, and supposedly them two don't get along with each other, and they end up both in pinstripes. So you got to think that stuff would kind of play into it. You know, if there's some past beef, so to speak, with one another, then as a team, when you're in the locker room in between innings or games or going to practice or whatever, that's got to be in the back of your mind, and I feel like that's got to affect your play at some point in time. I know they hadn't missed a beat right now, but like, and I agree with you. I think they definitely are playing over their head.
And you live it, Colby. I mean, think about it. All those hours at the dugout and the clubhouse, you're with your teammates probably more than you're with your family. If you're not getting along or you didn't get along in the past, it's not easy to get along after that. And then, you know, on top of that, you've had the track record of where they've had one of the best hitting teams in baseball. Come October, the game is different. It's managed different. It's played different. They haven't hit. In must-win games, they disappear. Why is this year going to be any different? You know,
exactly.
Look at Seattle when they have 116 wins. They lost. You know, so to me, until they win, you know, in October, this doesn't mean anything right now. It's fun to watch, but, you know, I still don't think we're winning at all.
And it kind of seems like with baseball especially, we saw it this past year in the College World Series, I feel like. And I feel like the major leagues is definitely the same way. And obviously, there's talent on that team, a ton of talent, probably the most talent in baseball on that team, and has been for the past couple of years. But it's almost like they just don't play their best baseball when they have to. You know, Ole Miss won a College World Series, and everybody was like, oh, they got swept by Missouri on the weekend series, beginning of the year. And, you know, when you think about Major League Baseball, well, it's not too much different, except you're playing 100 more games a year, and it's a whole lot harder to hit throughout the whole year or pitch throughout the whole year. And then especially doing it in the last month of the year, come October, when it matters. And then a thing, kind of a side note that I've kind of been thinking of, you know, everybody that I've heard in interviews that have played for the Yankees, they have said it felt different putting on the pinstripes. And you got to kind of think that the 27 World Series championships is in the back of these guys' mind that, hey, this is the standard here. We better live up to it. And it's, okay, are they pressing once they get to the playoffs or get toward the end of the season? You know, there's a lot of variables that go into baseball and sports, obviously, in general, but especially baseball, that are kind of unthought of.
I never thought about it that way with pressing because of what the teams have done before. That's an interesting way of looking at it. That could be it, too.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, JB, brother, I can't thank you enough for coming on tonight. We're gonna have to start winding it down. One thing I do want everybody to know, guys, check their show out. It's called Sideline Sports. JB and I consider he and I friends. We technically have never met before. That's the beauty of digital, communication. He stumbled across a podcast of mine, seems like forever ago. We were introduced through a mutual friend, and he started listening to my show, and I started listening to his content. And, guys, I'm going to tell you, they are putting out a quality product, so you need to check them out for sure. JB, you got any parting words for the listeners before you get out of here tonight?
Well, definitely a lot of fun being on here. Definitely check out Sideline Sports Tuesdays 8:30 on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. If you have a Roku or a Fire Stick, download it on dbtv.tv or dbtv the app. Look for Traverse TV. Definitely watch this show. Their show's great as well. And we have shows 7 nights a week on our YouTube and all the social medias. Come watch and, definitely interact. It was great being here, guys.
Well, me and Kobe are going to catch up with you in the future for sure. We definitely want to have you. We'd love to have any of your guys that are on the show to come on and talk to us. And like I said, I've had a blast. I appreciate you being on. Kobe, you got anything, man?
We appreciate you, JB. It was very very entertaining. I enjoyed it.
I guess that's another one then. So I'm William, and he's Kobe, and we'll see you guys on the next one.
Now a word from our sponsors.
Honesty, integrity, and hard work. These are characteristics that drive me on my journey. The same can be said for Hunter Forbes and his crew. So call or contact Forbes & Son Wood Products, LLC, in Sandy Hook, Mississippi, for all your timber harvesting needs. Hey guys, Kobe here. Check out my new project, Brushing 'Em Back with Kobe White, currently on Anchor.fm and Spotify. Coming soon to anywhere you catch podcasts. This podcast is an open discussion about not just the game of baseball, but the avenues taken by so many to achieve the highest level of success in the sport. Each episode will feature a guest commentator that will provide his or her perspective and or life experiences concerning the topic of the day. We're trying to provide a new, fresh look at a classic game.